You might not expect to find the phrases massive international cartel and potato together, but in Idaho, a group of lawsuits winding its way through federal court does just that, alleging that the starchy tubers are part of a multi-million dollar agricultural conspiracy. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, Jessica Robinson of the Northwest News Network joins us from Spokane, Washington to explain. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. First of all, tell us about these lawsuits. I understand that there are several of them underway, one from a group of shoppers and also from the Associated Wholesale Grocers Group. What are they alleging?
Well, they all target the United Potato Growers of America, and this is a group that represents 80 to 90% of the potato industry. And according to the lawsuits, starting in 2004, this group started conspiring to raise prices. And it's pretty basic supply and demand kind of economics that we're talking here. They're accused of driving up prices by essentially reducing the supply. And supposedly it started by just basically destroying potatoes, which was really unpalatable to a lot of potato farmers. But then, according to these lawsuits, the United Potato Growers started setting up these artificially low production targets that farmers would have to adhere to. And the group would check up on the farmers by visiting their farms, and they would even get satellite imagery of farmers' potato fields just to make sure they weren't cheating.
Now, I read that the Associated Wholesale Grocers call the United Potato Growers of America a cartel, essentially the OPEC of potatoes. And from the business practices that are alleged in the lawsuits, I mean, they do kind of sound like a cartel if they're reducing supply in order to drive up prices.
Yeah, I mean, the way these lawsuits read is actually kind of entertaining. They use phrases like mastermind and co-conspirators. And the people who brought these lawsuits are really trying to paint a picture of the United Potato Growers as this very sophisticated cabal, almost, that's pulling the strings of the potato industry.
Now, just to be clear, it has yet to be proven whether or not they are actually a cartel, because cartels are not legal business practice in America, but what do the United Potato Growers call themselves?
They say they're a co-op, and a completely legal co-op. And the thing is, farmers are allowed to do things that would be totally illegal for other businesses to do. Co-ops are supposed to allow them to pool their resources, to share machinery or to share marketing, say, instead of being out there kind of on their own, sort of blowing in the winds of the market. And ideally, this pooling of resources should make the industry more efficient. So the United Potato Growers would say they're an information sharing organization. And back when the growers first formed in Idaho, the potato industry was really hurting. Keep in mind, this was back around the time of the Atkins diet, which potato farmers still talk about as this kind of natural disaster that happened to their industry. And there were these huge swings in potato prices, and farmers weren't always making the best decisions about planting. And so the United Potato Growers came along and established to set up a series of regional co-ops and help farmers just be smarter about planting.
I see. But now you're saying that the United Potato Growers may control 80 to 90% of the potato market. How has that had an impact on actual prices for consumers?
Well, potatoes are really cheap still. But if you look at the data in a big picture way, at the agricultural data from the federal government, after the United Potato Growers formed, the number of potatoes did go down and the dollar value of those potatoes went up. And since then, there has been a lot of price fluctuation, and production recently has been rising again. But the prices that we're talking about are not so much the prices that you and I pay in the store. It has to do with how much a farmer gets for a 100-pound bag of potatoes. And in a good year, that could be maybe $9 or $10, which is where the prices have been lately. And if you're a wholesaler dealing in tens of thousands of pounds of potatoes, those dollars really add up.
Interesting. Now, it seems as if the agriculture world is pretty ripe for these kinds of lawsuits regarding alleged cartels or price fixing. I mean, not that long ago, there was a case against egg producers about, you know, a scheme to limit egg production. Do you have a sense as to why there seem to be a lot of price fixing lawsuits in agriculture?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things going on here. First of all, the Department of Justice a couple of years ago went after the milk industry under antitrust laws, and that got the attention of a lot of private law firms. So one legal expert told me that lawyers, you know, have their own trends, and right now agriculture is really hot for antitrust lawyers. And then the other thing that's going on just has to do with agriculture itself. So with the potato farmers that we're talking about, I mean, you might be tempted to imagine like a guy on a tractor and maybe a 100-acre farm, but really what you should imagine is businessmen and businesswomen. They own 25, 30, 45,000 acre farms. And these are farms with millions of dollars in contracts with places like Dole and Green Giant. So it's huge amounts of money. Tiny price fluctuations are going to mean a lot of money to these growers. And because just a few people represent such a huge portion of the industry, if you can get those people in the same room, you can potentially really move the market. So even if nothing illegal happened, there's definitely this image issue that makes them a target for lawsuits.
Hmm. Well, who would have thought that potato futures have a lot in common with the world of oil futures? Jessica Robinson is a correspondent for the Northwest News Network. Pleasure to speak with you, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're also keeping an eye on the cold today. The Midwest and the East colder than much of Antarctica today. And for instance, on Twitter, we're hearing from listeners. Here's B-Flood 28 in Buffalo, where they're expecting up to 6 feet in some areas of that wind effect snow. They write, "The wind gusts and whiteout snow conditions make you wish you were dead." Say it ain't so. In Detroit, David Rudolph sent along some terrific information for dog owners. We will post that. He says Detroit is minus 35 with the wind chill. Let us hear from you at hereandnow.org. You can leave a comment. I'm on Twitter at hereandnowrobin. Magna is Magna WBUR. And the show is at hereandnow. Let us hear how it is where you are.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.